To see everyone here, and welcome to visitors.
Thanks, man.
Great to have you joining us as well. And just my privilege to introduce Craig McGlone to you. If you read the newsletter, Craig and I share a long history. We served together in Indonesia. Craig was there for 5.5 years. And you know, when you live in a foreign country together for a long time, you get to know each other and you get to see their family life, their work life, and you understand their heart. And that's certainly wonderful to see Craig, who was a church planter here in Adelaide. Craig was involved in planting the Journey Uniting Church in Elizabeth Downs, which is now, I believe, the Blakeview Uniting Church. Then took the risk to come to Jakarta and 5.5 years of ministry there amidst 147 million people, as you may have read in the newsletter, and now has returned. And actually, he was sitting in my office in Jakarta when he got the job at Baptist Services at Westcare. So it was great to see God move him back to Australia and be a servant here as well. So welcome, Craig, and so glad you could join us.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thanks, everyone, for having me. And, I forgot my chocolates. Diane, can you grab my chocolates? Is that all right? These are my bribes. I mean, appropriate rewards, okay? So Dan said I could make this interactive. Thanks, Diane, this morning. So hopefully you guys are up for some chocolates. Who likes chocolates? All right, a couple of people. Fantastic. So as Dan said, my name is Craig. I've been working at the Baptist Care SA West Care Centre, which many of you are familiar with, for the past 4 years, and it's been amazing. Such a privilege to go in day after day and to be working with the community there. I do want to thank you for your generosity as well. You know, you can look at your AGM report and see that you make quite a significant financial contribution to the work at Westcare. So thank you so much for that. Thanks also to all of you over the years who have been generous to that community. And we'll talk more about the history in a little while. Kathy's coming along every Thursday and working in our food hub, which is amazing. So if you want to join and get involved, see Kathy. She'll put you in the right direction, or grab one of my cards over on the table with Dan afterwards. So I'm going to do a couple of things this morning. One is I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Westcare Centre. Many of you are familiar with the Westcare Centre. Others maybe not so much. So we'll tell you a little bit about that. We'll have some interaction in terms of a quiz looking at homelessness, and we'll link it in with God and his heart for incarnational ministry. And I'm going to pitch, obviously, a bit of an idea and an opportunity to you at the end. But want to just pray that God will move in all of our hearts and minds and just help us to think about what's that next step for us as we look to engage, as Jesus has given us the example of, and in the community. So here's my first question that I want to ask you. I've got my clicker here, so hopefully I can drive this PowerPoint. But we're a centre at Westcare for people experiencing homelessness. Now, why do you think, for a chocolate, why do you think we might say people experiencing homelessness and not homeless people? Why do we think we prefer that language? Any thoughts? People first language, absolutely. We believe that everyone is created in the image of God. Now, if you don't eat nuts, just check that that doesn't have any nuts in there. You can take your mask off as well when you eat that. We believe that everyone is created in the image of God. And so we take a strengths-based image of God approach. In community development, we call it, of course, asset-based community development. We're looking at people's strengths. And it's amazing. When I first came into the role about 4 years ago, I did some asset mapping. And I asked people, what are you passionate about? What are your strengths? And our community of people experiencing homelessness had some amazing strengths and abilities that we've been able to start leveraging and learning from as we seek to see what God is doing in the community and how we can come alongside what he's already doing. So we tend to use that language, which is great. Now, as you may know, the mission began in 1913. And Bentham Street Christian Church, right in the centre of the city, recognised even back then at the start of World War I that there was a lot of poverty in the southwest part of the city. A lot of people doing it tough, experiencing homelessness, poverty, so on and so forth. And so they sold their building. That's pretty radical. Sold their building and built the Westcare Chapel. Now, if you've seen the Westcare Chapel, it's fairly ornate in the ceiling. You've got to sort of get all sorts of permissions to do anything to it and so on and so forth. But it's a real testament to the faithfulness of God's people over the years. And they actually partnered with Flinders Street Baptist Church back then, Diane, who you're working for during the week. And Flinders Street Baptist Church, still big investors in what we do today, as well as the whole Baptist movement, including all of you. On site, we have, just clicking that, I'm not sure if it's, have I got that on? There we are. We've got Westcare Baptist Church there. Now, you guys have got a big link with Westcare Baptist Church at the moment. You know what I'm talking about? So Kerry Davies is actually the interim there at the moment. So that's absolutely fantastic. They're the heartbeat of our community. We're always looking for pathways to encourage people to discover Jesus and the life that he has for them. So Westcare Baptist Church, really the heartbeat of the community there. We serve 120 meals daily. We have emergency relief. We have a nurse on site from RDNS. We have community activities, which I'm involved in. We have homelessness services, helping people to get into housing. We have a housing first approach and then maintain those tenancies and so on and so forth. So a lot of things going on at our inner city site. And of course, we have the food hub, tackling food insecurity. And these are all kind of part of our holistic way of bringing God's love to people who are really doing it tough. People experiencing homelessness in particular, but also all people who are really doing it tough and who qualify for some help. But what we're really hoping is that, that we can bring God's love to people. You know, maybe someone's sleeping rough in the West Terrace Parklands, and, you know, it's inclement weather, it's 3 a.m., they're thinking, you know, where's my life going? I'm sleeping rough here, it's terrible. At least they know that at 9 a.m. they can come and get a cup of coffee, they can do their laundry, they can grab a shower, they can have a friendly chat, they can hit the gym, we've got a gym now, and they can get support, get that wraparound service. Hopefully we can get them into a house as well. But it's more than that, it's community, it's discovering their strengths, it's tackling their underlying issues and trauma and all of those sort of things as well. Right. We also have a privilege to work with a lot of people in the Aboriginal community. So 30 to 40% of the people coming into our centre are Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islanders. And so that's a real privilege for us to listen and to learn and to understand culturally what that means, to celebrate their culture, understand some of the challenges as well in that space. So that's a real privilege for us as well. So today Dan sort of asked me to talk about incarnational ministry, and we've got that wonderful verse from John 1:14 that says, and I'll use the Message paraphrase just right now, that Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into the area, moved into the neighbourhood. And so we're looking at ways that we can really get proximity to those people doing it tough, and that we can listen and learn from them, and they can listen and learn from us. And together, we can see God's redemption in their lives and our lives as we explore the gospel and the good news together. Now, I talked before a little bit about asset-based community development, and I want to do a little bit of an illustration here just to illustrate some of the ways in which God is leading us that might be a little bit different to what our inherited imagination is. So I'm wondering, and I reckon this is worth two chocolates, I'm wondering if I can have a volunteer to come out and just help me with this next interaction. Is anyone feeling like they'd love to take their mask off and just enjoy a delicious Morro? Perhaps, I mean, I might have to pick on Dan if no one else is going to come up, but I think, you know, all right. All right, Archie, come please. Yeah, fantastic. Give her a round of applause. thanks for taking mercy on me and being kind. So what was your name?
Janine.
Janine, we talked before, didn't we?
Yes,
we did. Janine, you know, it's. Have you ever been talking to someone recently with a mask on and thought, is that... Yeah, so Janine, thank you. And we had a great chat before about Janine's property just over here and living in Sicily and also Sojourner. And so that was lovely. So... thanks, Janine. Now, Janine, I want you to imagine that you're someone experiencing homelessness. All right. One of the big needs of people experiencing homelessness is transport, particularly for those sleeping rough, which is about 7% of all homelessness. So in South Australia, we have about 6,200 people experiencing some sort of homelessness, and 7% of those, so that's, what, about 400, 500, are sleeping rough. Probably about half of those in the CBD where we're located. That's why we're located there. So you're sleeping rough, you're doing it tough, and you have a need for transport. Now, I'll give you a bit of a clue on the picture there. What sort of transport do you think you might come and ask me for?
Probably a fare for a taxi.
Could be a fare for a taxi, yes, absolutely. We might be able to help you with that. We might be able to help you with some bus tickets as well. But a lot of people actually ride bikes. A lot of people experiencing homelessness ride bikes. Okay, so Janine, I want you to ask me for a bike.
Please, can I have a bike?
Okay, Janine, you know what? I think I can help you out with a bike. Now, Janine, I'm going to give you two scenarios of how we might approach that request. And I'm going to just open it up for everyone afterwards to have a think about which scenario they think is going to be the most helpful for you if it's the type of thing that happens day after day after day, okay? Now, in scenario number one, Janine, I'm going to ring the local bike shop, okay? Now, I'm going to ring the local bike shop. I'm going to ask them if they've got a brand new bike that we can give to you.
Not a good idea.
All right, but we'll do it for scenario number one. We've already got an opinion there about scenario number one. That's good. Okay, Janine, I'm on the phone. I'll get my phone out. And g'day, yes, it's Craig here from the West Care Centre. I've got Janine here. She's experiencing homelessness. She's a fantastic lady, but she needs some transport. Do you think that you can donate us a bike that we can give to Janine? Fantastic, that's great. Janine, good news. They've got a bike for you, okay?
Now,
I'm going to make it electric. I'm going to get it right now, actually. They just dropped it off. Here it is. All right, here we are. Now, is it Neil? No, Neil. Can you help me? Can you be our photographer? All right. Because I'm going to present this to Janine. I want you to get my best angle in, okay? All right, I've got a bit of a double chin, so if you can get up high, that would be great. Now, Janine, this is the brand new bike from the bike shop.
Yeah.
I've got my photographer here from the newspaper, the Advertiser. Yeah. And he's going to take a photograph of me giving it to you. Is that okay?
That's great.
All right, you ready? Okay, thank you. All right, yes, work it right, Janine. Yes, up a bit higher maybe just to get the double chin in. Thank you. Great, okay, thank you, Neil. You can grab a seat. That's good. It's got some good shots there. So that's scenario number one. Now, that might be okay, right? I'm going to give you scenario number two. I want everyone to think about which is going to, if this is happening to you, these sort of interactions are happening to you day after day after day, which is going to be the best for you, okay? So in scenario number two, I know you, Janine, because I've done some asset mapping, and I know that you're very mechanical, right?
Yes.
Very mechanical. All right, now I'm not. Good, good. Now I'm actually the world's worst mechanic, I think. I'm a terrible mechanic. But I know that you're a good mechanic. But what I do have is some community connections, right? So I'm going to put on Facebook, I'm going to ask people to give me their bikes that need to be repaired, okay? All right, is that a good idea?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, right. So I'm going to do that. And I've got a bike here. I've gone and collected it in my wife's station wagon because they won't fit in my little car. And I've got one here. Now, Janine, if you can fix this bike, then you can keep this bike. All right, now, so I'm going to get you to fix it in a minute and explain to all of us, because we're here for the bikes group, okay, Tuesday morning bikes group, we're all here. I want you to teach me what you're doing, and I'd love you to teach everyone else that's here what you're doing as well, okay?
Okay.
Or is that okay? Janine, can you tell us what's wrong with the bike and what you need to do?
Well, it hasn't got wheels for a start.
Okay, well, that's, I didn't even notice that, that's good, okay.
And
what do we need to do?
Yes, does it have hand brakes or foot brakes? So we've got to see whether there's chain that operates the brakes, because you've got to have brakes.
Okay.
Does it have a light?
It probably needs one. I don't see one there, so
light.
We can help you with a few of the materials, but ultimately you've got to fix it.
Wheels, light. What about a seat? You need a seat.
It does need a seat, because I'm going to jump on and test this in a minute, and if I'm jumping on a bike without a seat, that's not going to be good, okay? All right.
So that's easy fixed.
Go for it.
Got the part. Okay. So the seat first. The wheels, just make sure the chain's attached.
Brilliant.
And light.
Okay.
Ready to go.
You reckon it's ready to go? Okay. Now, Janine, if you can just sign this indemnity form for me, that would be great. Thank you very much. So I'm just going to do one more thing. I'm going to jump on it, make sure it's okay. All right. It hasn't collapsed, so that's good. All right. Janine, congratulations. That's your bike. You can ride it off if you like now and grab a seat and give a round of applause. Well done, Janine. So here's your chocolates, by the way.
Thank you.
So have a think about it. Scenario number one. Now, scenario number one is okay, isn't it? I mean, it's okay. But if scenario number one was happening to Janine day after day after day, then what might be the messages that Janine's getting about herself? Have a think about that. Versus scenario number two, where Janine was the one that was using her strengths and actually fixing the bike. So, I mean, it might be pretty obvious, but can anyone tell me what they think could be the better scenario to be happening day after day after day and why you think that's the case? What's that, sorry?
Set up a club to teach them how to fix bikes.
Yeah, absolutely. Or even so that they, being the people experiencing homelessness who I've worked out from asset mapping have mechanical skills more than me, can actually teach me, right? So in scenario number two, it was a very mutual interaction, wasn't it? So who was scenario number one a little bit about? This guy, right? I was up here, the kind of the middle class savior coming along with the brand new bike and the partnership, and I was getting the, you know, my story in the advertiser. And look, that happens and it's okay. But if that happens day after day after day, potentially the message is, I'm hopeless, I'm helpless, and I need everyone else to solve my problems for me. But we know that everyone's been created in the image of God and has innate gifts and abilities and talents that are part of who they are. Now, of course, we want people to discover Jesus and be redeemed and have those kind of really on the upward. But in essence, we're all created in the image of God. We've all got gifts and abilities, and we want to affirm that. So in scenario number two, we're working hard still. We're putting a lot of resources in, but we're making it a more of a mutual interaction. So I come along and Janine teaches me what she knows. She tells me her story that, you know, whenever she used to be a bike mechanic and riding around the streets of Sicily with a, I don't know. But she teaches that to me, and her dignity is affirmed, isn't it? Her God-given, and so that's a small example of asset-based community development. So when you invest in the Westcare Centre, that's where we're trying to head with things. We're trying to create pathways where people can build their capacity to help them to move from adversity to opportunity. Now, we don't ever take that scenario to the extreme where it's ridiculous. Like if I keeled over now and had a heart attack and there was a doctor there, the doctor wouldn't come up hopefully and say, well, Craig, you've got all the tools and the strengths. You are the expert in your own body. Now, I could rest. We don't take it to the extreme, but in terms of a philosophy of giving people dignity and helping them to see that they have strengths, God-given abilities, then that's what we're trying to do. So that's asset-based community development. And I think I added the word incarnational in there because to do that, you've got to come alongside people. You've got to identify with people. You've got to learn their story, find out about what's important to them. And I think that's what Jesus did, which is the genius of the incarnation. Okay, time to win some chocolate. Are you ready? Are you ready for some chocolate? Now, I just want to give you a brief background about our context, which is people experiencing homelessness. So I've got some questions. How many people, and this is from the last census, and you can choose A, B, C, or D, how many people in Australia do you think are experiencing some sort of homelessness? Now, it's 6,200 in South Australia. It's about 25,000 in Victoria, so it kind of goes on the population. In Northern Territory, it's above the kind of the sort of the rates in the other states. It's 13,000. It's huge in Northern Territory. But around about 1 in 200 people at the moment experiencing some sort of homelessness in Australia. Rough sleepers, 7%. Could be people in shelters, like a DV shelter. Could be someone who's couch surfing. You know, I come and knock on your door, I'm experiencing homelessness, can I stay there for 3 days? Then I go and knock on someone else's door, can I stay there for 2 days? Or it could be an overcrowded dwelling. A house is designed for 8 people. There's 20 people there. 12 of those are experiencing homelessness. So what do you think? Who thinks it's A? All right, anyone think it's B? Anyone think it's C? Okay, a couple of C's. Anyone think it's D? All right. Well, the answer is D. I'm going to give one representative of the D's of chocolate. There you go. Well done. And these, you can cheer for these questions, but then hopefully these are the sort of questions that we cheer for if we get it right, and then we think, oh, actually that's a pretty serious issue, right, and something that we're called to as Christians to. How am I going for time, by the way, Dan? Keep going? All right. Don't look at the clock. Okay. Two o'clock in the afternoon where everyone's asleep. No. Okay, so that's the answer, 116,000. Now, I gave you a little bit of a hint on this one in terms of percentages into the Westcare Centre, and so you might be able to guess that it's not A, but our Indigenous friends, our First Nations brothers and sisters, make up around about 3% of our general population. But in terms of people experiencing homelessness, what percentage do you think are Indigenous? What percentage of that 116,000 from the November 2016 census, which we're going to update soon, hopefully, with some more up-to-date figures, what percentage do you think are Indigenous? Anyone think it's A? I told you it's not, so see who's listening. Anyone think it's B? C? Yeah, okay. And D? All right, now the C's and the D's, I'm going to give it to you. I think you said C, so there's a crunchy. And I think you said maybe D. Just nod, yeah. You said, yeah, that's right, yeah. I think you did. The ABS say it's C, but there are still some people saying it's around about 25%. So somewhere between 20 to 25%. So that's eight times the general population. So a huge issue for us to really listen and learn. And you talk about incarnational ministry, really come alongside our Indigenous brothers and sisters to understand their background, their intergenerational trauma, really value the great things about their culture and so on and so forth. So that's an interesting thing for us to really explore and ask God to help us with as we do that. This question here, all of these factors... excuse the English there, contribute to homelessness, but according to Homelessness Australia, which of these is the leading cause at 23%? Okay, so we've got some options there. You can read through those. Does anyone think it's A? Okay. Yep. Does anyone think it's B? Now, these are all factors, yes. Anyone think it's C? Yep. Anyone think it's D? All right, can the A's put their hand up again? Okay, because you guys are correct there. And again, we can cheer that we got it correct, but then we sort of want to pause and think, okay, well, what are some of the preventative things that we can do now in terms of helping people to deal with their emotions in healthy ways so that we don't, you know, we can get to the root of some of the major causes of homelessness? I talk to a lot of young people about homelessness from schools around Adelaide, and one of the things that we talk to them about is the fact that, you know, we all as humans experience emotions like jealousy and anger and so on and so forth, but how do we deal with them in a healthy way? And they've got some good tools that they're starting to develop, you know, whether that's to pray or to meditate, to go for a run, listen to music. But what we don't want is when they get into a longer-term committed relationship and all of those emotions are intensified because there's so much at stake, we don't want them to be dealing with those emotions in devastating ways. And so we need to get to the root cause of some of these issues. So tackling homelessness is reacting and kind of dealing with people who are already experiencing homelessness like we do at the Westcare Centre, but also a societal kind of approach to really... sow into, in a good way, helping to address these type of issues in this particular, you know, lead to homelessness. Okay. Now, this one really is, I think, an important question for us to think about. What is the life expectancy of a long-term male rough sleeper? Now, this figure comes from a study done in Hobart, from a day shelter there, and they tracked the age of death of probably about 40 men experiencing homelessness, long-term rough sleeping homelessness. And this was the age that came out. I've checked it with a study from the States. It's a very, very similar age, and there's studies starting to come out about men and ladies, which I haven't looked into in a lot of detail, but it's a very similar age. Now, just to give you some context here, of course, the life expectancy of people in Australia on average is 84 for ladies and 80 for men. You guys are all going to knock it out of the park and live to 100, though, anyway, so that's okay, right? So you guys are above average, of course. So that gives us the context for this question. Does anyone think it's A? Okay. Anyone think it's B? All right. C? D? Okay, D would be probably not worth doing the question for. So, a lot of people said, I think most people said B. Now, hands up again if you said B. That was probably the largest number, hands down. Now, if it is B, I'm not saying it is B. If the answer is B, that's 32 years less than the average, right? Would that be acceptable? 22, correct, sorry. Here's my maths. Yeah, yeah. 22 years, okay? So that's you know, some people here might be around about that age. So that's a long term. But the answer's not B. The answer's not B. The answer's actually A. I think you like picnics? There you go. So that's huge, right? That's huge. I want to show you a picture of, and I'm going to change his name. I want to show you a picture of Bob. Bob's not his real name. And Bob is there with, I'll give the dog's real name. I'm not sure there's any confidentiality laws around that yet. Molly. So that's Molly. And Molly used to follow after Bob day after day after day, and Bob was long-term rough sleeping in the West Terrace Parklands, partly because he found it hard to get a house because of Molly. It's another issue for people experiencing homelessness. A lot of people rough sleeping have pets for companionship, protection, warmth, all of those sort of things. And one day I was talking to Bob, it was on a Wednesday, about these vets that were coming into the West Care Centre on Sunday. And I said, bring Molly along because we've got these vets coming in. They'll be able to help have a look at Molly. And Bob was really excited. And he said, look, Molly's got a really sore paw. And so I'll make sure I bring her in on Sunday and so on and so forth. That was on the Wednesday. And then on the Thursday, I was off doing something. And I rang into the centre. This was a couple of years ago. And I said, how's things going? And they said, oh, it's good. But did you hear that Bob passed away last night? And Bob was right on that late 40s kind of age range. And so, you know, Molly was then looked after by another community member, and she's just passed away in the last few months. But the point is that it's really, really common, sadly, for people in that kind of community to pass away around that age. This is another one of our community members. I'll just call him Steve, Uncle Steve. And Uncle Steve, you know, you talk about assets and strengths. Uncle Steve is our three-time table tennis champion. He's got fantastic hand-eye coordination. I remember bowling to him in cricket once, a nice juicy off-spinner right on middle stump. He dispatched me over the Westcare admin building with ease. He's just amazing. And you can see there he's playing table tennis in our gym and just having a great time. He's got, you know, really good technique. That was filmed in August 2019 when Uncle Steve was 50. And Uncle Steve really battled with a number of different things, trauma. And he said to Dave Seckham, some of you might know Dave, who's our centre coordinator, he said, I used to punch people, then I would punch the wall, but now I punch the punching bag that you can see in the back there. And so Uncle Steve, nobody would work with Uncle Steve because of some of his anger issues. Has anyone here ever been frustrated with the self-serve checkouts at the supermarket? Okay, Uncle Steve one day went into Coles on Gooja Street, just around the corner from our centre near the markets, and became very frustrated with the self-service checkouts there. Has anyone ever become so frustrated that they've smashed up four or five of those? So Uncle Steve did and ended up in prison for 9 months. So he was working on it. He had some strengths. He had some abilities. He loved his fishing. He loved his art. He loved his kind of punching the punching bag, but he did have some trauma going on and he had some issues as well. But, you know, incarnational ministry, the people at the West Care Centre, in particular Dave Seckham, who one day Uncle Steve said, I love you too, which is just amazing, You know, no one else would work with him, but the people at the West Care Centre found him some accommodation. So when he passed away, like a lot of long-term rough sleepers do, at age 51, November last year, from a range of kind of issues, he passed away with dignity. He was in a house, and they were coming alongside him. People like Dave Seckham, lovely older volunteer called Jeff, who was at the centre, built up these relationships that really crossed all sorts of cultural and different boundaries. And so we're trying, yes, to address those health and well-being issues. We're trying to take an approach where we've got things like the gym, where we've got the nurse, where we've got a doctor on site, where we're tackling food insecurity that Kath's involved in. We're also trying to come alongside people and really share the love of Jesus in a really practical, incarnational way. Jesus became flesh and blood and moved into the community. So there's Uncle Steve. Just trying to click onto that next one there. Thank you. I might skip over this question, but in terms of interaction, how much time, mate? 5 minutes, okay. I might skip over this question, but I want you to think about this, because in terms of incarnation, you know, one of the things I love about Jesus is the fact that he identifies with us and with all people who are doing it tough. You know, Jesus was born homeless, born in a stable. He was born homeless. He was a refugee, had to flee with Joseph and Mary to Egypt. He experienced every manner of temptation that we've experienced. We read about that in Matthew 4. And of course, Jesus lived, died, rose again, is now ascended, sitting at the right hand of the Father as the perfect heaven, perfect human. The perfect human who has experienced what it means to have struggles, to have temptations, to die the most excruciating death in our place. And in Christ, I'm just so glad that we've had his righteousness credited towards us. That at the cross, that I can have a divine exchange of my sins and all of my struggles. I can give that to Jesus, and in exchange he can credit his righteousness, what he's earned because of his perfect life, overcoming all of this, credit to me. And I can go in confidence to the West Care Centre, and I can help people to discover their God-given gifts. And you can too. And we can come alongside them and we can offer them the good news of Jesus Christ. And so incarnational ministry, coming alongside in proximity, identifying with people, affirming people's God-given gifts, such an opportunity. Hebrews 4:15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. And there's some other scriptures there that you can reflect on as you're thinking about what's God calling me to do in my everyday life? How is God calling me to come alongside people in my workplace, people in my community, to really to listen, to learn, to not try to fix them as such, but to really understand their God-given gifts and passions and abilities, and to earn the right to share about the hope that you have in Jesus Christ and how he's redeemed you. I want to leave you with an opportunity as well. I said I would spruik something for the West Care Centre. And in particular, it's this urban learning community here. At the moment, at the West Care Centre, we've got a live-in community of young adults. We're targeting people from 18 to 30. And targeting sounds terrible. We're inviting people 18 to 30 to come and live on site, to not just talk about social issues, to not just put things on Facebook, but to actually come and incarnate themselves in the centre, to live in the centre. So basically it's been running since January 2019, and we've got a three-bedroom unit, if you like. It's pretty much on site, and over the 2 years we've had people coming and going, but we love people to sign up for a year. It's right in the city. Great cafes, great access to work or cafes and all of those sort of things that you can enjoy in the city. But in addition to living in a Christian community, is an opportunity to really get to know people like Bob and Steve from the West Care Centre and incarnate yourself there. And so basically how it works is $120 a week covers everything, covers all costs, but there is an expectation that, you know, if you can be working full-time, you can be studying, whatever it is, that you also spend significant time in the West Care Centre building up those relationships. And so practically a week might look like coming together with the community on a Thursday night, having dinner together, talking to each other about how God is moving in your life and the life of the community, and also some mentoring and coaching from me, but then getting out and about in the community, in the West Care Centre, building those relationships and seeing what God is doing. So if you think that's something that you might be interested in as a young adult, I'm sort of looking over here, but we've got young adults everywhere, or you know somebody, feel free to talk to Dan about that. I've left some of my cards on the table there. We're looking for people to sign up for, you know, pretty much at least a year. You can be studying, you can be full-time working. We've had a maths teacher from PAC in there. We've got, and I'll use his name because he was going to come today, but had something else on, Dave McDonough. You might know Andrew McDonough. Andrew McDonough's son, Dave McDonough, is in there at the moment. He works for SA Power Networks. We've had people that have been studying. We've had chaplains in there. And it's an opportunity. We've got two spots at the moment. And it's an opportunity really to build something from the ground up, which is looking at how we as people can really incarnate ourselves and come alongside those who are doing it tough. So I'm going to show you a very quick 30-second closer on that, and then I'll pray and then hand back to somebody.
Every day I'm able to live out my faith in a concrete way, following God's right way.
Find there's a real sense of family in the city.
I know I can make a difference here at Baptist Care SA, West Care Centre.
If you're between 18 and 30, this could be for you.
Put your faith into action alongside colleagues.
Worship at West Care Baptist Church.
Contribute to the lives of people on the margins.
And build life-giving spiritual habits with the help of a personal mentor.
Jesus inspires us to live a purposeful life.
Okay, let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for each and every person in this room. I want to thank you that you have created each of us uniquely, uniquely to have a relationship with you, to worship you, to bring glory to you. Lord, I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for the divine exchange that happens when we trust in you, that we can trade our sinfulness, our brokenness, for the fullness of being righteous in you. And Lord, I want to pray that each of us would experience the peace and the grace of that today. And Lord, as we rest securely in that foundation of your goodness and faithfulness to us, help us in your freedom to reach out to those doing it tough, to come alongside them, to see what you're doing in their lives, what you've been doing in their story, what you've been building in them, and help us to be able to work together to help them to discover their God-given purpose. Lord, I want to just pray for Norton Summit Baptist Church. I want to pray for your blessing and favour upon each and every person here. And I want to just commit the AGM today and everything else today to you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll just say one more thank you before I take my seat. I want to thank Dan and Di for inviting me here today. Dan and Di are the real deal. And like Dan said, we've sort of lived together in community. So you get to see what people are like and what they're made of. Very, very deep, prayerful people who put their money where their mouth is. So thank you very much for having me and inviting me. And thanks to Dan and Di. Thanks, everyone. That's some